What else we might have available to us when we get our next skill point. Or that class challenge thing at level 19, Sierra mentioned, voicing the same thought that I had a few minutes earlier. Hey, everyone! Lazarus's voice called out, causing all of us to turn and look in his and Alistair's direction. I know you're all having a great time enjoying spending your skill points without us, but Alistair and I would really like to get moving so we can hit the next level too. You mind if we sort out the loot?
Sure,
Halcyon replied as we all turned to face the pair standing over the Sentinel's loot bag.
But get moving to where? Aren't we done?
Don't think so,
Lazarus replied, motioning towards the far end of the chamber that vanished into the darkness. The tunnel keeps going onwards and we still haven't found the ley line. You know, the reason why we came down here in the first place?
Should we keep going without the others, though?
Trace asked, joining in on the conversation as we all walked towards Lazarus and Alistair.
We're down a third of the group, and I don't know about you, but I could use a bit of a break.
I hear you, I replied, but the others are going to have to make their way back down here anyway to pick up their soul fragments. We might as well push a bit further until they can get back down here, if only to make sure that the area is clear.
Fair enough,
Trace acknowledged, before motioning at the bag that Lazarus was holding open.
What dropped?
A hell of a lot, he said, reaching into the bag and beginning to pull items out, their descriptions appearing in my vision as he handed them out.
Some of it immediately useful, some of it not so much.
Nefarian Sentinel's Aether Core, item class Relic, item quality Mastercraft, +20%, Strength, +3, Agility, +3, Constitution, +3, Intelligence, +3, Willpower, +3, Weight, 0.1 kilograms, level 16. Nefarian Sentinel's Focus Crystal, slot main hand, item class Relic, item quality Mastercraft, +20%. Damage, 25 to 55 arcane. Intelligence, +7. Willpower, +7. Durability, 120 out of 120. Weight, 0.2 kilograms. Class, any arcane. Level 16. Nefarian Sentinel's Iron Gauntlets. Slot, main hand and offhand. Item class, Relic. Item quality, Mastercraft, +20%. Damage, 25 to 45 crushing. Strength, +7, agility, +7, durability, 160 out of 160, weight 1 kilogram, class any martial, level 16. Filth-covered iron scrap, quantity 200, item class relic, item quality mastercraft, +20%, weight 1 kilogram.
Damn, this is a ton of metal,
Drace exclaimed after the last item had been pulled free of the bag.
It won't be enough by a long shot to fill what we need for Aldford, but it'll help tide us over a bit longer and keep us from needing to use that ether-touched iron.
Yeah, Leandra's gonna love this stuff,
I replied, wiping my finger through the filth coating the iron. We're gonna have to give it a really good clean, though. I don't know what this crap all over it is, but it's everywhere.
Looks like a mold to me,
Trace said, inspecting a fragment in his hand.
Kinda smells faintly like that musk hanging in the air. Based on the pitting on the metal, I think it might have been slowly eating it.
Think that'll pose a problem with our gear? I asked, checking to see if I'd managed to get any of the pasty substance onto my chainmail.
Dunno,
Trace answered with a shrug, sounding unconcerned.
The Sentinel is completely covered in it, and look at the punishment that it stood up to. It probably took centuries for the mold to make the progress that it did.
Maybe, I said, not completely convinced. We should quarantine it just in case, then burn all this stuff off it before letting it loose in Aldford.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea,
the big man agreed, putting the piece of scrap he was holding in his pocket, then turning back towards the group.
Anyone have any claims yet?
I do,
Cadmus replied, holding the pair of heavy gauntlets in his hand.
These are a huge upgrade for me, at least twice as good as my current gloves.
Then they're yours, I said, nodding towards the lizard man, who immediately stripped off his existing gloves and put on the oversized gauntlets. Anyone else?
Since all the other casters are dead, I'll take the focus crystal for now. Halcyon answered, holding the crystal that had been embedded into the sentinel's palm for everyone to see. I may need some help in attaching it to something, but this would make a great wand. The four of us can sort out who gets it after we get back.
I think Drace or I could help you out with that, I told the mage with a nod, appreciating the fact that he hadn't forgotten about the other casters.
Well, that was easy enough, Freya said, holding up the sentinel's ether core in her hand. All that's left is this thing now. From the looks of it, I guess it's used in crafting?
Yeah, I think so too, I replied, looking at the fist-sized crystal that was glowing with a faint azure light.
Maybe I can set it into a weapon, or maybe some armor. +3 to all stats across the board is a pretty serious bonus.
It definitely is, Lazarus chimed in. Perks of being the first to clear a dungeon, I guess.
No kidding, I agreed, while motioning for Freya to hang on to the crystal for the time being. We can figure out what to do with that thing once we get back to town. It might be worth hanging on to it until we craft our next round of armor, whenever that'll be.
Considering that it's a mastercraft item, that's probably for the best, Freya said, putting the ether core in her pocket. It sucked to waste it on something that would be replaced right away.
We'll have to see what Leandra Drace and I can come up with over the next few days or weeks, I said, indicating for everyone to take a share of the iron scraps we had recovered, intending to split the load between the groups. Maybe we'll be able to figure out how to forge larger pieces of the ether-touched iron and make something out of that.
Hopefully,
Drace stated as we all collected the scraps and prepared ourselves to resume exploring the ruin.
We sure have a lot of the stuff lying around now.
With a loot sorted and no pressing reason to stay in place, we set off down the tunnel that Lazarus had pointed out earlier, a handful of the group members still muttering to themselves as they considered what to spend their skill point on. As we walked, I remembered that I had yet to spend my attribute points, and took a moment to consider where my points would be best placed for this level.
Strength and agility are doing pretty well, but I can never get enough of those anyway, I thought as I scanned through my character sheet and tried to gauge what I needed most at the moment. Compared to everything else, though, my constitution is falling behind. It's my second worst attribute after willpower, and the one directly responsible for keeping me alive. Realizing what I needed to do, I mentally added my 5 attribute points to constitution and confirmed my choice, feeling the still eerie sensation of my health and stamina improving. With the choice made, I briefly glanced over the top portion of my character sheet, familiarizing myself with the changes a new level always brought. Lyrian Rastler, level 15 Spellsword, human male Iberian. Statistics, HP, 891 out of 891. Stamina, 810 out of 810. Mana, 940 out of 940. Experience to next level, 534 out of 31,700. Attributes, strength, 55 out of 74. Agility, 50 out of 71. Constitution, 50 out of 51. Intelligence, 54. Willpower, 20.
Looking pretty good. I couldn't help but think as I saw my new hit point total, feeling more confident in my ability to endure whatever the game decided to throw my way. I knew that no matter how good I was at dodging or avoiding attacks, my luck would run out at some point, like it had with the Sentinel, and I wanted to be sure that I'd be able to stay standing for when it happened again. Deciding that I would read through the full character sheet later, I dismissed the rest of it from my vision and turned my attention back towards the tunnel around us. Much like the larger cavern that we just left, it too had been subjected to intense heat until it had partially melted, causing the entire passageway to shrink and deform as the molten stone dripped down from the ceiling above, forcing us to pick our way through, and in several cases over, piles of solidified lava.
"Whatever happened to this place happened really close to here," Halcyon said, breaking the temporary silence that had filled the air as we moved. This looks nothing like the tunnel that we passed through before. It must have all been melted.
Seems like it, I replied to the mage, noting that the walls and ceiling around us had narrowed drastically, barely stretching more than 20 feet wide in some places, which was a far cry from the 50 feet that it had been before. Falling back into a companionable silence, we all continued to follow the snaking path through the melted tunnel, eager to see if we would finally reach the ley line or another intact portion of the Nefarian ruin. Moving at the head of the party with Amaranth by my side, I couldn't help but notice that in the short distance that we had traveled, the ever-persistent musk had grown practically impossible to ignore. Growing from a faint yet potent stench in the air to an aroma so heavy that I felt as if it were sitting on my own tongue. "Oof, we have to be coming close to whatever's causing that musk," I told my familiar, letting out a sharp cough in hopes of driving the smell out of my nose. "It is becoming nearly unbearable."
"This?"
Amaranth queried, turning his head to look at me curiously.
"It is unpleasant, yet pales in comparison to a skunk."
"Anything pales in comparison to a skunk," I replied to the puma, letting out another cough. My mental reply back to Amaranth was cut short as the two of us rounded a bend in the twisting tunnel and a bright source of magic unexpectedly filled the entirety of my vision, forcing me to shield my eyes reflexively from the intensity. Never before had I seen any source of magic as bright as what I just experienced, causing me to immediately deactivate true sight, just as Amaranth's stunned mental voice filtered into my head.
"Oh,"
he stated, a sense of excitement and wonder coming across the bond that we shared.
"I would never have imagined finding anything like this underground."
"Finding what?" I asked, blinking furiously to get the afterimages out of my eyes and pulling my hand away from my face, my jaw dropping as I took in the sight before me. Opening up just past the bend that Amaranth and I had just passed, the tunnel expanded drastically before us, widening until it joined a vast, almost impossibly large cavern that practically blazed with azure light. I felt my leg tremble as I rushed across the remainder of the tunnel, hearing voices call out from behind me as I moved. Coming to a stop at the tunnel's mouth, I found myself staring out into a sight beyond my wildest dreams, barely able to process what was before me. Just past a large ridge of stone was a veritable forest, filled with what could only be described as mushroom-like trees, each of them glowing with a faint azure light. Slowly turning my head away from the glowing forest, I noticed that the side of the cavern had been covered in patches of glowing moss, the combined light from the two almost perfectly illuminating the chamber in a dull azure haze. "Has this place been under Aldford all this time?" I asked myself as I continued my scan of the cavern, gradually following the walls upward until I had worked my way towards the ceiling, where I spotted countless brightly glowing crystals protruding from it, along with several larger ones on the far side of the cavern. "Hang on a second," I thought, squinting my eyes at the larger crystals in the distance, noticing that they didn't look quite right to my eye. "Those aren't crystals at all. Those are the ether-warped oak's roots." Feeling my heart thundering in my chest as I stared up at the cavern's ceiling, a twinkling light in the distance caught my eye, causing me to drop my gaze downwards. Squinting over the canopy of the mushroom forest, I could just barely make out a glowing waterfall at the far end of the cave, as it dropped off a distant cliff face and out of sight. "That's not a waterfall!" The thought caused my heart to beat even faster as I tore my eyes from the sight before me and spun backward towards the rest of the guild, seeing them all slowly approaching me, awe written all across each of their faces. "We found it!" I said to the group, watching as every single pair of eyes shifted onto me. "We found the ley line!" Chapter 40.
"Wow,"
Halcyon said, gazing at the cavern before us, shaking his head from side to side.
"Just wow. I can't even describe what I'm feeling."
"I don't think any of us can right now, Hal," Sierra stated, standing beside the mage. "This is beyond anything that I was expecting. This is
a completely new zone," I said, turning my head to look at the pair and seeing them nod in agreement without taking their eyes off the cavern.
"This must have been ground zero for whatever destroyed the ruin and ruptured the ley line,"
Halcyon commented, his head slowly moving as he scanned the area.
"Look at how some parts of the walls are all smooth, while others are porous and cracked."
"Just like the tunnel," Freya noted. "Something in the ruin must have exploded in here and hollowed out a good chunk of the place. Then earthquakes must have then done the rest."
Probably the ether they had stored here, I suggested, remembering the size of the blast from the two depleted ether crystals during the battle with the Sentinel.
That's what I'm thinking too, Halcyon agreed, taking his eye off the cavern just long enough to nod at Freya and me before glancing back. It must have been a hell of a lot to create a cavern like this, though. Earthquakes notwithstanding, this place has to be miles across.
And yet it's next to nothing compared to whatever made Crater Lake, I pointed out, trying to imagine the scope of the devastation that would have been left behind after erasing an entire city from existence. Shaking my head at the depressing thought, I focused my attention back to the massive cavern, unable to help but feel intimidated by its sheer size. And here I thought the hard part was over after making it through that dungeon, I thought, feeling a mixed wave of both resignation and excitement shoot through my body. On the one hand, we had a brand new area to explore, and the ley line was finally within reach. But on the other, I had a sinking suspicion in my gut that going forward wouldn't be easy. As it was, we had already been hard-pressed to fight our way through the Nefarian ruins, the level gap between the dungeon inhabitants and ourselves widening the further that we progressed. Even with the new level under our belts, I expected that this new area would continue the trend, if not increase it drastically. We'll figure out a way to manage. We always have so far, I thought, pushing my reservations to the side as I brought up my quest log, deciding to check on the status of our quest. Lately, I'd begun to ignore the almost constant updates that had appeared in the corner of my vision as we explored the ruin, the majority of them being either a summary of recent events or just an incremental notification that had reached a new area. Which I guess this one isn't really any different, I noted as I skimmed through the newest update. Quest update. The ruptured ley line. Following the path that the Nefarian device had opened for you, you and your party delved deeper into the ruins, encountering tremendous damage and destruction on your route to the next ether matrix, which proved to be infested with the spirits of the dead. With the aid of the device, you were able to overcome the spirits and continued onwards until you rejoined with the rest of your guild members, caught in the middle of a battle with an ancient Nefarian construct. Rushing to their aid, your combined efforts proved enough to destroy the machine, despite incurring heavy losses. After taking a moment to recover from the ordeal, you and the rest of your party resumed your exploration of the ruin, traveling through a large burnt-out tunnel until you found yourselves overlooking a massive underground cavern filled with strange glowing plants. From your vantage point, you can see a bright azure-hued waterfall glowing in the distance. Could this be the ley line that you came here looking for? Explore the cavern, 0 out of 1. Ley line sealed, 0 out of 1.
So, who feels up to exploring the place? I asked, dismissing the quest update from my vision and checking party sense to see where Caius and Constantine were, finding them to be somewhere above and in front of us. It doesn't seem like the others have left Aldford yet for some reason, so we have plenty of time to kill before they get back. Trace grunted, his head glancing up towards the cavern ceiling. You're right. They haven't left yet. I wonder what's going on.
Now that you mention it, Thea spoke up, our group hasn't left yet either. Maybe they're waiting for their death sickness to wear off?
Maybe, Frey acknowledged. But it's also only been, what, 10 or 15 minutes since we finished off the Sentinel? They could be waiting to see if anyone else pops in before leaving. They're all gonna have to go through those double doors again at the ruins entrance. Oh, right, I replied, having completely forgotten about the two doors that controlled access to the ruin. I'll have to see if I can get the security system to disable that.
We can do it on the way out, Halcyon said eagerly, motioning towards a small ramp of dried lava that led off our vantage point and downwards into darkness. Let's go and take a look around first.
I'm down for that, Trace
stated, casting a glance at the rest of the party and me before taking the first step down the ramp.
If the others are going to be a while in getting back down here, I'd rather be moving around in the meantime, rather than just standing and waiting.
Sounds good to me, I replied, moving to follow the half-giant and casting a light spell to brighten the path as he led the way down, Freya and Amaranth taking up places beside me as we walked.
I bet there are a bunch of interesting creatures down here, Alistair announced from the middle of the party. This place reminds me of zones I've seen in other games years ago. They've always ended up being my favorite places to explore.
And to hit level 14 in? Lazarus prompted with a note of humor in his voice.
Hopefully,
Alistair replied.
Though I haven't been able to see any creatures here yet.
Me either, Sierra chimed in as we continued to move. Maybe they're just good at hiding? The spiders in the webwood were pretty hard to find at first.
Oh, please, don't use that S-word down here,
House Young groaned theatrically.
I've had my fill of those for several lifetimes. It can be literally anything other than spiders, and I'll be cool with it.
Like scorpions?
Trace prompted from the head of the group, flashing me a smile over his shoulder as he spoke.
Okay, spiders and scorpions,
Halcyon corrected.
Everything else should be cool.
What about the giant praying mantis?
Thorn suggested.
Or giant mosquitoes,
Abaddon added with a throaty chuckle.
Guys, do you want me just to come out and say it?
Halcyon stated uneasily.
I'm terrified of giant bugs in general.
Is that really a fear, though?
Lazarus asked, barely stifling a laugh.
I thought that was just called common sense.
Why should Halcyon fear the many legs?
Amaranth sent to me.
They are an excellent source of meat, and taste fairly good when eaten fresh.
Hey, Hal, I called, twisting to look at the mage behind me. Amaranth wants you to know that spiders taste pretty great, and that you shouldn't worry about them.
Oh, God, I hate you all,
the mage grumbled, causing a chorus of laughter to erupt from the group. With all of us eager to see what the new area held in store for us, we descended the ancient lava flow and headed towards the cavern floor, the azure-tinted jungle in the distance vanishing from sight as we descended below it. Chancing a quick glance with true sight before the brightness of the cavern overwhelmed me, I managed to see that we would have to descend downwards into a small valley that separated the cavern wall and the ridge that the alien forest was set on, then find a way to climb upwards and get back up to the higher elevation.
This place is a hell of a lot rockier and jagged up close,
Halcyon commented while conjuring several orbs of light, allowing us a chance to glance around the valley that we'd found ourselves, and finding it free of any vegetation, glowing or otherwise.
Hey, speaking about that, shouldn't we name this area? Since we're the first people here, we can do that, right?
Yeah, we can, actually, I replied enthusiastically, remembering how I had named the webwood a few weeks earlier. Anyone have any suggestions?
The glowing abyss,
Lazarus suggested before shrugging his large shoulders. I'm terrible at naming things, so don't expect anything better than that from me.
The mushroom forest?
Halcyon chimed in, his face turning into a scowl.
No, on second thought, not that. That's awful.
How about the ether gardens? I said, looking around the group for reactions.
Not bad, Freya commented thoughtfully. But I think it's missing something.
What about Fungal Grove? Or maybe Twilight Cavern? Sierra paused for a moment, clearly not happy with her choices, before suddenly snapping her fingers.
The Twilight Grove!
Ooh, I like that one, I said right away, looking up towards the azure-hued ceiling and testing the word.
The Twilight Grove.
It has my vote, Freya exclaimed. I think it fits perfectly.
Works for me,
Halcyon agreed, the rest of the group chiming in a second behind.
Do we need to do anything specific now?
I don't think so, I answered, recalling that all it had taken was me coming up with a name and writing it down on my map for the area to be named. I'll make sure to include it on the map that I'm making, but the game should take care of it automatically.
Oh, I remember you scratching away at that thing, Trace commented. How's that coming along anyway?
Glacially slow, I grunted, not able to remember the last time that I'd taken it out to sketch out any updates. I honestly haven't had the time to get to it. Maybe when things calmed down, one day.
Well, Lyrian's crazy schedule aside,
Halcyon began,
we should see if the name stuck if we can find a creature here somewhere, right?
That's how it's worked out so far, I replied, nodding at the mage.
Well then, let's go find a creature and see,
he exclaimed, motioning for us to continue onwards, his orbs of light leading the way.
And then kill it for experience, right?
Alistair queried as we all turned to start moving again, prompting another laugh from the group. Resuming our journey through the newly named Twilight Grove, we gradually made our way through the valley in search of a route up the ridge, the sound of the crunching rock underneath our feet filling the air. Despite the presence of the strange forest in the distance, it seemed that this particular valley was still in the middle of establishing its own ecosystem, appearing completely barren of any plant life or creatures. Was this place growing here all this time? Or did this all sprout into existence soon after the ley line started leaking again? Questions filtered through my mind as I glanced between the walls high above us, staring at the strange mold that I'd seen earlier. It had only taken a few weeks for the ether-warped oak in Oldford to grow to massive proportions. With the energy from the nearby ley line, I didn't consider it a far stretch that everything here could have sprouted and grown to size in just a handful of days. I guess it's impossible to know for sure.
"Looks like we can probably climb up the ridge over there,"
Trey said, pulling me out of my reverie as he pointed at a section of stone that had broken away from the ridge, creating a rough path that we could use to climb upwards.
"We just need to pull ourselves up onto that rock there, then we should be able to scramble up the rest of the way."
More climbing, Halcyon grunted. "You know, the best thing about Ascend Online has to be that even if I'm a mage, I still have better upper body strength in the game than I do in reality."
"That's because coffee and junk food aren't real food groups, Hal," Sierra said as we all grouped around the rock that Drace had indicated seconds earlier, the large warrior having already pulled himself up.
"What is this?" the mage replied defensively. "Pick on Halcyon Day?"
"Well, Constantine isn't here right now," I said, flashing the man a grin as I moved to follow Lazarus, who had climbed up behind Drace. Putting Halcyon's grumbling behind me, I easily pulled myself upwards onto the boulder, and then carefully made my way up the rough path of stones. Reaching the ridgetop without any difficulty, I quickly spotted both Drace and Lazarus. The pair had moved away from the edge and were gazing in the direction of the dimly lit jungle, which had come back into view.
"Well, this place is going to be interesting to navigate," Drace said, glancing over his shoulder as I approached, waving his arm out towards the jungle before us. "Looks like we're going to have to blaze a path through all of that before we can get to the ley line."
"Yeah," I replied with a sigh, my eyes scanning through the countless strangely shaped plants that made up the forest. "I guess it would be too much for us to ask to be able to just have a clear straight shot at it."
"Of course not," Lazarus agreed, matching my tone. "We'll have to suffer first and earn our way towards it, like everything else in this game." "Hopefully we'll have enough time to do that," Drace said, his eyes remaining fixated on the forest. "I still don't see any creatures ahead of us, but if you listen closely, you can hear a sort of chittering sound in the distance."
"I hear it too," I replied, the sound suddenly intensifying as Amaranth finished his climb and came into range of our now augmented bond. "Seems like there's a hell of a lot of whatever it is making that noise."
"Good," Lazarus commented, "and hopefully it's easy to catch, too. I have a hell of a lot of catching up to do with you guys."
Giving the half-giant an understanding nod, I turned to glance back at the rest of the party who had finally made the climb up the ramp, their eyes focused on the jungle ahead.
"Last chance, everyone. Ready to see what this place has in store for us?"
"Just about," Thea said amid a chorus of affirmative replies. "I have a spell I want to try out on us before we go. I picked up a buff with my level 15 skill point."
"Oh, awesome," Freya exclaimed as all of us huddled close to the lizard woman at her prompting.
"What does it do?"
"It gives a slight boost to hit points, armor, and health regeneration," Thea said as she began to emit an aura of violet energy from her body that reached out to encircle us. "It's not much, but every bit helps in the long run."
A surge of energy coursed through me as Thea completed her spell, the aura surrounding us gradually flowing into our bodies. When the last traces of it finally vanished, I could feel myself become slightly healthier as the magic took hold, seeing a pair of notifications appear in my vision. "Thea casts Inner Fire on you. You gain plus 50 hit points, plus 30 to armor, and plus 2 to health regeneration for 3 hours.
"Hey, this is pretty great," Thorn announced, "though I hope we're not in a situation where 50 hit points are all that keeps me from dying."
I am for any situation that we live through.
Abaddon grunted in response.
Thank you, Thea.
Happy to help,
she replied graciously and then turned her attention back towards me.
All right, now I'm ready to go.
Great, I replied, giving her a thankful nod and turning back towards the jungle. Let's see what this place has in store for us. With the chatter amongst the group dying down, we set off, our eyes cautiously scanning our surroundings. None of us had the vaguest idea of what to expect going forward into this place, and we were all seasoned enough to know that pointless noise was a sure way to attract attention that you didn't necessarily want to have at that moment. Once we get a better feel for this place, we can think about relaxing, I thought as I stepped past the tree line and entered into near darkness, the chittering noise that we'd heard earlier intensifying until it seemingly came from everywhere at once.
The noise nearly drowns out all other sound,
Amaranth commented, a note of frustration filtering over our bond.
And this musk is potent enough to mask all other scents. This will not be an easy place to hunt in.
No kidding, I replied to the cat, finding that the already potent odor was even more intense inside the jungle. Do you see anything yet? Whatever creatures are making this noise can't be far.
No creatures,
Amaranth stated before inclining his head towards a vine-like growth that hung loosely from a large mushroom tree, swaying gently in the air.
Yet it seems that we've interrupted something that was just eating.
I grunted thoughtfully while motioning towards the vine for the others to see, pointing out the several large bites missing from it. I didn't even see anything move, I told the cat, scanning the area around the plant and not seeing anything of note on the soft, gray-tinted dirt below. There are no tracks surrounding it either.
None that we see from the ground,
Amaranth corrected, his eyes glancing upwards.
Yet given the thickness of the canopy above,
there might be creatures above us. I sent back to Amaranth while turning around to face the group, filling them in on our train of thought. Based on the lack of tracks, whatever was eating it may not use the ground to travel at all, or at least not all the time. I was starting to think the same thing, Sierra replied, staring up at where the savaged vine had attached itself to the tree. I could swear I keep seeing shadows or something moving up above us, but it keeps moving too fast to get a good look at it.
You think we're moving into a larger group?
Thorn asked.
I mean, anything with half a brain isn't going to stick around with a dozen of us tromping through the area.
That's a good point, Trace pointed out. Some of us might be half-blind in here, but the creatures probably aren't.
I think you're right, I replied, staring at the half-eaten vine before me and silently reconsidered my approach. With us entering into an unknown area with poor lighting, potentially filled with creatures of an unknown level, I'd wanted to keep us all close together until we could get a better idea of what we were up against. My reasoning being that if we came across something drastically higher leveled than us, we could simply swarm it with raw numbers and then regroup from there. Unfortunately, it seemed that tactic wasn't about to work. Looks like it's up to our scouts, I whispered to Sierra, seeing her turn her head to look at me and give me a nod. About time, Sierra replied, flashing me a grin as she signaled for Lazarus to follow her into the surrounding brush. The two of us will take a quick look around and see if we can find something interesting to bring back. You guys just sit tight here for a bit and keep an eye out for any creatures.
But if you hear any loud noises or screaming while we're gone, please assume it's something trying to eat us,
Lazarus said softly as he moved to follow the red-haired elf.
And come running. Can do.
Trace replied with a soft chuckle. All of us watched the two stealthy members of our group fade away into the forest.
Wish Caius would have made it,
Halcyon commented sadly.
His blood sensibility would have helped here. He could tell us if there was anything close by.
Yeah, I agreed as I pulled Splinter from its sheath, getting myself ready for when one of the scouts hopefully brought back a group of creatures for us. Though something tells me close by isn't a problem. Waiting patiently, I felt the minutes pass by slowly as I waited for the scouts to return, passing the time tracking them via party sense. At first, they moved quickly away from us as they spread out away from one another, then slowed as they gradually fanned outward. During this time, those of us left waiting kept a careful eye on our surroundings, making sure that nothing tried to sneak up on us while the others were away. Sierra and Lazarus have gone pretty far, I told Amaranth as I stared out in the direction that I sensed them in. I can't believe that they haven't found anything yet.
A good predator must have patience,
the cat replied dryly, fixing me with a glare.
Else he will find himself hungry more often than not.
Grunting, I accepted Amaranth's rebuke and resumed patiently waiting, paying careful attention to Sierra and Lazarus's presence as they continued to move through the jungle. If the creatures here don't want to have anything to do with us, then maybe we'll actually have a clear shot at the ley line, I thought, while trying to temper my expectations. In all our experiences so far between the Webwood and the Greenwood that we had taken the new guild recruits to the other week, forests had always been packed full of hostile creatures, often to the point where it was difficult to take a step without disturbing something lying in wait. To make it this far into a virtually untouched area to be actively ignored by the creatures seemed extremely unusual. Drace let out a sudden mew of interest as he turned his head in the direction of Sierra and Lazarus, his expression shifting to one of curiosity, and a heartbeat later I realized why. Lazarus is coming back towards us, I thought excitedly, sensing him rapidly getting closer, and Sierra stopped moving. Waiting on pins and needles, we all eagerly waited for Lazarus's return to the group, gripping our weapons tightly in case he arrived with a horde of creatures in tow. Emerging from the foliage at a quick pace, Lazarus's hands immediately shot up in front of him as he spotted us and shook his head side to side.
"Nothing following me," the half-giant stated, watching all our faces fall at the news. "But Sierra and I found something else interesting that y'all need to see. Follow me."
Intrigued by the man's cryptic statement, we fell into line behind him and retraced the path that Lazarus had just blazed, trampling over the already damaged foliage with ease. Moving at a demanding pace, it didn't take long before we finally arrived at where Sierra was waiting, spotting the woman standing directly in front of a large, jagged piece of stone that protruded from a barren patch of ground, her attention fixed intently upon it.
"Hey!"
My greeting barely had the chance to leave my throat before the rock Sierra was staring at suddenly flared with countless emerald-colored runes, each of them appearing to crawl across the stone's face before fading into nothingness. Speechless, we all ground to a halt as we stared at the stone before us, watching the strange symbols continue to play across it before everything gradually faded away, leaving the face blank once more. Taking her gaze away from the stone, Sierra turned around to face us, her eyes wide with wonder.
"Hey," she greeted, her voice sounding slightly stunned. "So I know it wasn't a creature, but we found something else interesting."
"I'll say," I replied, shaking off my astonishment and approaching the stone, everyone else following closely behind me.
"It flares up every few minutes or so," Sierra told me, stepping to the side as I placed my hand on the stone's surface, feeling it perfectly smooth to the touch.
"Then lasts roughly about as long as you saw before fading away again."
"We didn't see anything like this in our half of the ruin,"
Freya commented, taking up a position beside me and looking up at the stone.
"Did you guys?"
"Nothing even remotely close," I replied, "just the ether crystals."
"Damn."
Halcyon breathed in a low voice as he too approached the stone.
"I figured that everything from the ruin here would have been destroyed."
"I think we all did," I said to the mage, my eyes following the edges of the stone, then down towards its base.
"Look at the edges to this, though. It almost seems like it broke away from something even larger and landed here."
"But what is it?" Freya asked.
"I don't even have the faintest idea," I answered with a shrug, "though the runes that appeared earlier almost seemed like spell notations, similar to how a scribed spell would look like in a spellbook."
"I noticed that too,"
Halcyon commented before suddenly shielding his eyes.
"Ugh, damn, that's bright. Don't look at it with arcane sight, Lear. It's definitely magical, even if it's not showing anything right now. More so than anything I've ever seen before, too."
"Interesting," I replied, wondering just how much longer it would be before the runes appeared again.
"So you think that whatever's on the rune might be a spell?"
Sierra asked, taking a step away from the rock and rejoining the bulk of the group.
"I don't know," I said, turning around to look at everyone. "Scribed spells don't normally move around like that one did, but maybe we'll be able to..."
My words trailed off as the incessant chittering that filled the air abruptly stopped, the jungle around us falling deathly silent. Standing beside me, Amaranth let out a low growl as we all looked out into the brush with confused yet wary expressions.
"Something happened in the jungle,"
Amaranth hissed, his fur standing on edge as he glanced around rapidly and crouched low on his haunches.
"Perhaps a predator is somewhere nearby."
"Maybe," I sent back to the cat, staring out into the jungle nervously, but not seeing any sign of movement through the dark gloom.
"Everything just stopped making noise," Alistair announced from within the group. "I can't hear anything at all now. Just us."
"Me either," I replied, surprised to find that even with me sharing Amaranth's senses, I couldn't pick up any noise from the forest surrounding us, everything seemingly having agreed to fall silent at the same time. "Can you see anything?" I asked the cat, not wanting to blind myself by activating true sight again.
"No,"
he replied a heartbeat afterward.
"The jungle is too thick to see through. If something is out there, it is a masterful hider."
"You think the creature's finally clued in that we're here?"
Thorn asked somewhat rhetorically, gripping his mace tightly as he searched the canopy above us.
"I don't know what else it could be," Freya said from beside me, holding her spear high. "But I still can't see anything."
"What's our plan?"
Lazarus asked, taking up position alongside Drace and Abaddon, the trio shifting until they were each back to back.
"Let's pull—"
I started to say when a flash of movement appeared in the corner of my eye, causing my head to snap to the side and land on a set of yellow eyes staring back at me from within the jungle.
"That's not just one pair of eyes," I thought, feeling my words catch in my throat as I realized that there were dozens more eyes peering out at me from the depths of the jungle, causing a single thought to slam into my mind. "We're surrounded."
Feeling adrenaline surge through me at the revelation, I felt everything stop for the briefest of moments, as if the world itself was taking a deep breath in preparation for what was about to come. And when it finally did, the jungle screamed.
"Holy shit!"
I could barely make out Lazarus's curse through the deafening noise that filled the air, yet as I glanced up at the jungle canopy, there was no doubt in my mind to what he had just seen. Leaping out from seemingly everywhere at once was a veritable swarm of claws and teeth, each of them belonging to a small, gremlin-like creature, bearing the very same yellow eyes I'd just seen a heartbeat earlier. Gazing at the incoming avalanche of creatures descending upon me, I had just enough time to read the tag that appeared in my vision. Twilight Grove Gremlin, level 17. No sooner were the words burned into my mind than I was driven to my knees from the weight of two of the creatures landing on top of me, their sharp needle-like teeth and claws passing through my armor as if it wasn't even there. Thrashing wildly from the pain, I instinctively reached up to tear one of the gremlins off me, feeling flesh tear as its talons came free. Slamming it against the ground and pinning it in place, the impact stunned the beast long enough for me to look over it, getting a better sense of what we were up against. Measuring just over 2 feet tall, the gremlin was vaguely bipedal in shape, its body covered in a thick gray-colored hide. Bearing a set of 3 razor-sharp talons on both of its arms and a pair of thicker claws on its more powerful legs, there was little doubt in my mind that the creature was a predator in whatever passed for an ecosystem in this grove, a fact that was only reinforced by the presence of countless jagged teeth in its maw as it shook its head and snarled viciously at me, fighting angrily to escape my grip. Feeling the bite from the other gremlin still on top of me, I instinctively thrust Splinter's tip into the beast's open maw, driving it straight through the roof of its mouth and into its brain, causing it to fall limp in my grip. With no time to enjoy my success, I began to reach towards the other that had landed on top of me, the gremlin having since sunk its teeth into my shoulder. But before my free hand could even travel halfway across my body, 2 more of the creatures rushed into view, one of them leaping to bite the arm that held Splinter, with the other launching itself directly at my face.
Shit!
I shouted to myself in panic, desperately moving my free arm to intercept the airborne gremlin. Catching the vicious creature on my forearm, I managed to shove it away from me, earning a bleeding cut across my cheek in the process, as a flailing talon lashed out to scratch me. No sooner did I knock the gremlin away than Amaranth suddenly came bounding beside me, biting down onto the creature that affixed itself to my arm, crushing its body easily in his powerful jaws.
We must flee!
My familiar called to me in a panic as he swept a massive paw at the gremlin on my shoulder, batting it clean off me in a single blow.
Something large approaches.
What do you mean? I shouted back, staggering slightly from Amaranth's assistance, but managing to force myself back up to my feet. We need to regroup! Lyrian! Freya's panicked shout interrupted my thought, causing both Amaranth and me to spin in its direction, catching sight of the blonde-haired warrior several steps away from us as she stared at something looming behind the now glowing stone beside me. It's not behind the stone, I corrected myself as I followed Freya's gaze, craning my head practically straight up until they landed on two massive yellow orbs that seemingly hung high in the air above me. It's standing over the stone! Appearing out from behind the stone, I saw a gargantuan paw reach out from the dim shadows, gripping the side of the jagged rock, causing me to reflexively take a step back in shock as I numbly counted five massive talons protruding from the claw, each of them at least a foot in length. Drawing my gaze back upwards towards the eyes that I'd seen earlier, I saw a beastly face lower itself down into the light, its maw already open and dripping with saliva. Oh! The word escaped me involuntarily as I stared up at the colossal creature, watching its eyes fixate right upon me. Taking a step backward, I felt a primal terror take hold of my heart as it slowly opened its mouth, revealing rows and rows of jagged teeth. And then it roared. Staggering from the noise as if it were a physical blow, I found myself completely paralyzed, unable to move, unable to think, unable to do anything other than gaze into certain doom. Closing its mouth after what seemed like eternity, the massive creature began to pull itself forward, revealing its near pitch-black body as it rounded the stone, causing a new golden tag that I'd never seen before to point towards it. The Beast. Raid Boss. Level 19. That's not fair, I thought numbly, as the beast suddenly launched itself at me, moving faster than any creature of its size should ever have been capable of moving. That's just not fair at all. Teeth filled my vision for the briefest of moments, before everything plunged into darkness, followed by an intense wave of pain. And then, there was nothing. Loading. Please wait. Chapter 41. Passing through the veil of death, yet again, I felt my consciousness slowly return as the darkness surrounding me faded away, leaving me looking out at the familiar surroundings of Aldford. Blinking numbly as I processed my rather traumatic death, I felt myself sway on my feet unsteadily, images of gnashing teeth and blinding pain still fresh in my mind. Damn! I cursed mentally, bringing up a hand to rub my face, feeling the weight of death sickness land on top of me. That death isn't gonna be easy to—
You guys have no right to hide shit like this from us!
A nearby harsh voice cut through the air, interrupting my train of thought. Huh? I croaked, more confused by the angry voice than anything else. Taking my hand off my face, I blearily looked in the direction of the noise and found myself staring at a handful of adventurers that I didn't recognize, facing off with the missing members of our guild. Standing directly between the two groups was Dire, along with the visibly angry Constantine and another adventurer that wore a rather familiar set of armor. That's the armor that I made a few days ago, I noted distantly, my brain still not having fully caught up with my resurrection, let alone beginning to process whatever was going on here. Having heard the sound of my voice, I saw Constantine's head snap in my direction, the near rage on his face shifting into dismay.
Lear!
Turning away from the small crowd, Constantine made to move towards me, but froze before he could take more than a single step as several faint flashes of light began filling the air around me, all conversation around us immediately coming to a halt. The rest of our group, I realized with a hard swallow, turning my head to see Freya appear an arm's length away from me, along with Drace a short distance away from her, the rest of the group gradually appearing as the seconds passed. Gritting my teeth, I waited for the heart-rending twist of pain that would herald Amaranth's death, realizing that my familiar was unfortunately out of range of our mental link. Yet as the seconds passed, the pain never came, and I could tell that Amaranth's presence was gradually getting further away from me, kindling the faint hope that the cat had somehow managed to survive. If any of us could escape that beast, he would have had the best chance. I thought optimistically as I tried to shake off the mental image of the creature's teeth once again. All that I remember in the split second that I'd seen it was a brief flash of dark, leathery skin.
Lyrian!
Constantine finally repeated, having crossed the distance between me and the group of adventurers, his arm landing on my shoulder, drawing me out of my spiraling thoughts before they could firmly take hold.
What happened? Did the...
Something else got us, I replied, not so far gone that I didn't sense the implied question behind his words. Pausing for a moment to look into his eyes, I couldn't help but notice the anger that still burned in them, causing me to shift my gaze past him and on to the adventurer wearing the armor that I'd made. What's going on? I asked, keeping my voice low. Who are those people, and why is Dire here?
That vulture,
Constantine began to hiss angrily, was snooping around the ruin this morning and found the dungeon entrance. It was just dumb luck that I overheard him talking about assembling a party after I respawned here.
We haven't exactly made it a secret. We were working on something in there,
Freya replied wearily as she joined the conversation.
But it's Virtus's ruin in the end. He can't go into it without our say-so.
That is part of his problem,
the rogue replied. He doesn't think that it's fair we've claimed so much.
Not this shit again,
I spat, feeling a spike of anger shoot through me at the familiar topic. It had been annoying enough to deal with Stanton's mock attempt to seize the ruins, and the last thing we needed right now was to replay that experience with a group of adventurers.
We don't have time for this. We need to get back down there. Not just us, but the whole guild.
We found it, Constantine. We found what we were looking for.
I saw my friend's eyes widen at my statement, excitement briefly replacing the anger in his eyes, lasting just long enough until a familiar voice barked out a second time.
I'm still waiting for an answer, Constantine,
the voice called.
Or maybe now that Virtus has bitten off more than it can chew, I should talk to the guildmaster directly. Seeing how he's the one who's really in charge here.
He's been trying to bait me into hitting him ever since Dire arrived, Constantine warned through gritted teeth. Can't say I'm not tempted.
Let's keep that option on the table for the moment,
I growled as I motioned for Constantine to lead the way back to the man, my already foul mood at being jumped by a raid boss, of all things, growing worse by the second. Having my emotions cluttered by the wild swings that death sickness always brought wasn't helping either. Who is this guy? Is he part of another guild?
Dunno,
Constantine replied quietly. But his name is Ignis.
Must be someone from the new group of settlers,
Freya whispered to me as the three of us approached the man and the waiting adventurers.
I don't recognize the name at all, nor the others with him.
Hmm. I grunted, fixating my attention on the man's familiar armor, pegging it specifically as one of the serpentine striker armor sets that I'd crafted. Despite whatever problems he claimed to have with Virtus, they clearly didn't extend to buying my armor. Nor bitching at the person who crafted it in the first place, I thought grimly, as the three of us came to a stop in front of Ignis, the adventurers milling behind him having taken several steps back at my arrival. Maybe everyone isn't on the same page here. Saying nothing as we came to a stop, I glared at the man, my eyes taking in the sharp features on his face and the thin line of white hair that protruded from the edges of his helmet. Looks like a half-elf, or maybe an elf.
So,
Ignis began, looking me up and down, his eyes noticeably lingering on the damaged portions of my armor.
I know you guys are hiding a dungeon from all of us.
I'm afraid I have no idea what you're talking about, I replied, keeping my expression neutral as I spoke, knowing that it would aggravate the man.
Bullshit! You don't know!
The elf exclaimed, his face turning into a scowl.
I saw the ruin entrance myself!
You did?
I asked, shifting my eyes over to the Justicar. So you admit to trespassing? Did you hear that, Justicar?
I most certainly did,
Dire replied, turning his faceless gaze onto Ignis.
Did you have express permission to be on Virtus's property?
Permission?
The man snarled.
I don't need permission to explore a ruin!
An unclaimed ruin, perhaps,
Dire stated.
Yet this one has been legally claimed by Virtus.
That's because everything here has been claimed by Virtus,
Ignis hissed.
This town? The nearby ruins? That's all any of us ever hear. Virtus owns this, Virtus owns that.
We earned all of those claims,
Freya answered,
through blood and sweat. You want something of your own? Go and find it.
You earned them by being first,
Ignis countered.
Now you're cock-blocking the rest of us from catching up.
Now who's spouting bullshit, Ignis? I asked, motioning towards the armor that he was wearing. You're clearly not suffering.
I'm wearing something I actually earned,
Ignis answered, slapping a hand on his chest. That's funny, Freya said, because I seem to recall that I was the one to kill that snake.
You!
Ignis began to sputter. You have no idea what's at stake here, Ignis, I stated, cutting the man off and seeing his eyes widen in anger. And I don't have the time, nor the obligation, to explain it to you. Suffice to say, when you and the other adventurers have a reason to know, you will know.
You mean after you've all had a chance to earn your glory and post it to your feed?
The elf countered angrily.
I know!
You don't know shit, Ignis! I interrupted the man in a cold voice, letting my frustration leak into my tone.
And you'll just have to take me at my word that this is more important than anything we have in our feed. Now if you'll excuse me, we're done here. Like hell we're done!
Ignis called to me as I stepped past him and his posse and began walking towards the town hall, the guild moving to follow behind me.
I'm far from the only one who's tired of Virtus running this town like its own personal kingdom.
What was that all about, Lyrian?
Lazarus asked in a tired voice as we entered the building, temporarily taking Constantine's place as he caught up beside me. Just an impatient idiot who knows we found the dungeon, I replied, angling our approach to the far end of the room and the stairs to the upper level. Have you seen him before? He was part of your group that came up here.
No, I don't know him, Lazarus said. Though I'll ask Ransom and Sawyer to. Stanton kept us under a pretty watchful eye while we were traveling. What are we doing now?
Constantine asked from over my shoulder as we all thundered across the room, causing the handful of adventurers sitting at tables to look in our direction. We need to let Alduin know what we found, I said, then lowered my voice to a whisper. And Stanton too, I suppose. Then after that, we need to get every single guild member still in town and get ready to head back, I continued. Amaranth is still alive down there, and I don't want to leave him any longer than I have to.
Oh, damn, Lear. I didn't know Amaranth survived, Freya commented, casting a wide-eyed glance at me.
I'll start sending out private messages to anyone still around town. Hopefully, we'll still have a good core around. Thanks, Freya, I replied, pausing to look back at the rest of the guild that had followed us into the town hall, the majority of them taking a seat at our usual two tables and whispering between one another, the survivors of the battle with the Sentinel eagerly updating those who hadn't made it through the fight. We'll need everyone we can get.
And more, Lazarus grunted as I turned around to climb the stairs. The last thing I expected was to have a damned raid boss jump us. I didn't even know this game had raid bosses at our level.
Fun for us to find out the hard way, I groused, glancing behind me as I led the way to Alduin's study, hoping that the knight would be around. Knocking on the door twice, I heard the Bond call out without a moment's hesitation,
Come in!
Pushing the door open, I spotted Alduin sitting behind his desk with several sheets of paper strewn across it, the man clearly in the middle of something. Looking up from his work, his eyes widened in surprise as he saw the four of us standing in the doorway.
Lyrian!
He exclaimed.
You're back already? Did something happen?
You could say that, I replied, giving the man a nod with a half-smile on my face. I have good news and bad news, but we should also tell Stanton, too. Time isn't exactly on our side right now.
He's in the meeting room with Veronia,
Alduin said, sensing the urgency in my words and standing up from his desk. Taking a few seconds to reorient ourselves, as the Bond eagerly left his paperwork behind, we shifted back down the hallway and knocked on the meeting room door, not waiting for any reply before entering.
We found it,
I announced without any preamble, seeing Stanton and Veronia sitting across the table from one another with a pile of paper and what looked to be a random assortment of knick-knacks spread out around them.
The ley line?
Veronia asked eagerly, showing no sign of anger or annoyance at our interruption.
The ley line,
Freya confirmed as we all moved to take seats around the table. But that's not the only thing. We found something else.
More like something else found us,
Lazarus said with a note of bitter humor in his voice.
What do you mean?
Alduin asked.
Something killed you all?
Perhaps starting at the beginning would be more efficient, Stanton stated, appearing completely calm as he clasped his hands together. What did you find?
That a good portion of the ruin is still intact, I said, before beginning to recount everything that we had experienced in the Nefarian ruin, leaving nothing out during my explanation. And a massive beast appeared out of the darkness. We didn't stand a chance against it.
Gods,
Alduin whispered incredulously, leaning forward in his seat as he glanced down at the table.
All of this was under us this whole time.
It seems like it, I soothed, more than understanding what Alduin was feeling. From his perspective, the founding of Aldford had led from one crisis to another, each one seeming to somehow be more threatening than the one before it. Though given how fast ether can make things grow, we could be wrong.
550 years is a long enough time for anything to happen, Stanton said, his voice sounding awed by what we had just told him. You realize that this is the first time that we have a true understanding of the timeline of when the Nefarian civilization fell? Nothing we've ever uncovered has even hinted at how long they may have been extinct for.
A dying race usually doesn't really have time to leave notes behind, Lazarus said dryly, and I imagine the Ascendancy wouldn't have been forthcoming with those answers.